Maybe you could, since Ed Young moved on up into chancellor and president, could say what you, how, what your perceptions of him were as you got to know him.
Well, I always liked him very much, and I respected his intellect. Although we were in different fields in economics, but as I think I mentioned the other day, it was when he was head of our local of the AFFT, that I really came to respect him, and I supported him. Perhaps, you know, perhaps a little deviously, I'm not quite sure, for the chairmanship, because I could tell that there was a man who would really be a good one, you know.
Why did you know he'd be a good one?
Well, because he'd shown that he was a very adroit, effective leader and honest at the same time. And that's a rare combination.
And you found this out in your seminar, or? In your course that you were teaching?
Also, in the teachers' union, and in personal relations, social relations. He wasn't too much younger than I. He lived across the street after a while, although I guess that was later from when me and my first wife were close neighbors and close friends. But I could tell, I had a feeling, strong feeling, that we had to break away from two things. One was the domination of Walter Morton, and the other was the domination from another angle of old-timers like Witte, Perlman, and Kiekhofer. And I thought Ed would be able to do the job. I don't know that anybody else could have done it.
But why Ed more than, well, there were other young people there at that, let's see, who would come in? Yes, let's see, Young came before Bronfenbrenner.
Yes.
And, well, Ted Morgan,
Bronfenbrenner.
That's about the only new one. I guess you're right.
Two after the war, along with Ed.
Yeah, well, Ed came in, he's 46 or 47, and Bronfenbrenner apparently 49 or so.
Thereabouts, that'd be right. And Ted about, perhaps in between, I don't know. But about that. But neither Ted Morgan nor Bronfenbrenner were suitable material for chairman because of their various peculiarities. You would never choose them to run anything.
Yes, I think Ed Young said something.
I presume it was between Ed Young and me if you were trying to choose somebody.
Actually, Ed Young said that you ought to have been chairman if you're talking about the appointment as department chairman.
I didn't want it at that time. I knew I couldn't handle it with that amount of ruction and difficulty. Walter Morton was, you know, by this time I had declared my complete independence of Walter. He always got under my skin. And I couldn't behave in an effective manner when I was in direct confrontation or in a group with Walter. I would fly off the handle. Ed Young says, when Walter starts to talk, I just get ice water in my veins. And so, from the standpoint of that, it would have been a very uncomfortable position for me, and from the standpoint of the interests of the department, I was a very strong supporter of Ed Young in the beginning.
Well, this would be the fact that he was from out. No, he was a graduate student in the department. Yes, so that doesn't work. Well, I can certainly believe his talent, but it's just curious as to how something like that manifests itself.
Well, it does whenever you're in a group with him, I think, where you have decisions, differences of view, and things of that sort. He is both has flexibilities, but he has firmness. He's a very kind person.
Well, I was just going to ask you if it was partly because he was so pleasant and in general kind to
That's
people,
right.
So that
I remember Ed used to say to me, "I've made a lot of capital out of being a decent fellow."
That's practically a what is the word for that? A tautology or what? The opposite of the opposite.
Yeah. And people trusted him. Not everybody, but most people who were perfectly acquainted with him.
But he wasn't a great scholar.
No, no. As far as I know, he was perfectly proficient in labor history when he had written his thesis. Mm-hmm. And he, because he's so knowledgeable and has good insights, he, I think, has always understood the labor movement very well. And I'm sure he has now got back into the swing of it and does a fine job teaching labor problems.
Mm-hmm.
But he was not a scholar. He published virtually nothing in the earlier days. I don't know what he might have done since.
So, was this a painful subject to him? Was he somebody who thought of himself as ought to be writing and isn't?
As far as I know, it was not, didn't cause him any pain. Mm.
You didn't have anything to do with the School for Workers, or?
No, none at all.
Well, let's see. There's Bronfenbrenner and Tripp and Cameron come on.
Right.
And then suddenly, well, of course, in 57, I guess six people are hired. Lampman, Orcutt, Summers. I'm sorry.
George.
And this, well, I'm trying to think. This, is, of course, reflects in part the increase in enrollment, this sudden jump. But is there more to it than that?
Well, we began. Ed became full chairman, I've forgotten, but it
must have been
in 55, 54.
I think 54.
54. And there was a campaign then to try to rebuild the department. And I would say that he and I was his right guard, so to speak. Mm. And we worked together. And I was chairman for several years there of the recruitment committee.
Mm.
We got Lampman and Orcutt and Summers, I see, at the same time. Steiner and Johnson and Ozan. I particularly went after Steiner. I got him. I was also very strong for Lampman. Ed, I think, was for Summers,
mm-hmm.
because it was in that field, and Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
But the main thing, of course, is that about that time, not long after he became chairman, we really got a pretty solid phalanx against Morton so that he could not undermine, delay, and otherwise interfere with an effort to rebuild a strong department. And there we had as our strong allies Ellsworth, and I guess Steiner would have been here by that time, although I'm not sure about that. We finally got Perlman to come around to our side. It's considerable difficulty. Glazier had become virtually retired. At any rate, he had no real role mm-hmm. any longer. Lusky here probably had gone out, yes, 54. Kiekhofer was dead. Witte had been chairman, but when he ceased to be chairman, he went along pretty well with Ed. And Ed Witte was very strong for Ed Young, too. Mm-hmm. And was no doubt much more influential than I. But I managed to help get Ed into a place where he could be effective. Morgan, middle of the road. Morton was strongly against Morgan, so Morgan naturally reacted against Morton. So we got everybody except Blazier. I think by that time, I don't know whether you have the date of the meeting in the president's office, but that was that was the crucial incident mm-hmm. in which we got independence of Walter Morton and his group. And finally, we got Dan Perlman to come along with us and Witte to come along because they had always been on the fence before.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so we then went out to get new people, and of course, Orchid was a key person in research and in bringing in other people, particularly in econometrics. Goldberger, Zellner, he got research money from Ford, and he got some from...
Young did.
No, Arquette.
Oh, yes, I see. But Young, Ed Young was responsible, seemed to be many versions of the story, for getting the money to hire Orchid. Do you remember exactly what the sequence was there?
I think Ed got assurance of some money from whoever was president then.
Fred.
Is he still president? Mm-hmm. And the graduate school, Albion, I think, was then dean of the graduate school.
Yes.
To bring in a person with some... with a relatively high salary, higher than, I guess, rich maybe everybody else at the time,
mm-hmm.
and to get money to bring in other people in his effort to build a economic model of the U.S. economy on his principles.
Have you heard this story that the whether it was the graduate school or the Wharf people were assured that Orchid would not in fact accept the offer, and so that they were safe and could offer
no,
that much money?
I hadn't heard that. No. I have no evidence to the contrary, but I never heard of it.
Don't know that it's true.
No. The from then on, of course, Lampman was an old Wisconsin man, although I think he got
That's
his
true,
degree
yes.
from Berkeley, finally. But he worked with Witte, and he's a very good man. And he's one of the institutionists who has remained an institutionist and an effective person in professionally
mm-hmm.
in that group. Summers, of course, died. He was an effective labor economist. Steiner was very good, particularly in statistics and some aspects of theory. This is a group I paid little attention to: Johnson, Ozan, Barbash, Stern. Those were people.
They were all in the
But of course, Ed being a labor economist himself, or ran that side of it
mm-hmm.
without any question.
Mm-hmm.
He would ask opinions and get help from me and from Pete Steiner. I've forgotten how long Martin Bronfenbrenner stayed here, but he got out not too long later to bring in the other new people. As a matter of fact, we had this one position, sort of a special professorship, along with some assurance. And we considered several people. Pete Steiner was was very important in deciding that we should go for ORCID rather mm-hmm. than alternatives. I remember I proposed a man from the University of California, Berkeley, and Pete had known him because he'd come from Berkeley, and he said he would not be a good person. He would not work with others. He would be sort of a loner, and what we got with ORCID was somebody who was really forming groups and doing things together. And
except ORCID apparently didn't know how really to work with others either.
A difficulty. But he had enthusiasm. He'd bring them in. He would try to get support, research support for them, and so forth. Gradually, I guess he felt that some of them had come just because he offered them a particular opportunity, but they didn't want to go along with his ideas. Mm. And there were some difficulties that way. Of course, I never was an econometrician, so I never was really involved in the social science research or social systems research mm-hmm. either.
When they started hiring, I gather there was quite a reaction against the hiring of Red Hawkins in 1964. Mm-hmm. The notion that one would have a would you call him an applied economist or mm-hmm. That such a person should be in the department, was there the same feeling about getting some of the labor people?
I don't know. As far as I know, not. I think Ed had his way without much difficulty in Barbash's appointment. We had no problem getting Lampman as far as the group was concerned. ORCID came in about the same time, though, did he not? In the case of Hawkins, Ed Hawkins was primarily a economic development man,
yes.
And on the practical side of it, interested in Southeast Asia, where he had a lot of background, and Ed was very interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
So he wanted Hawkins for that reason. And I remember Ed saying when there was opposition, quite a lot of opposition, fairly widespread to that appointment in the department, that he had failed to do his homework properly at that time. He should have talked more to people like ORCID and a few others who might be very lukewarm mm-hmm. towards this kind of economics and thereby avoided the difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, he put it through. And by this time also, he was getting quite a lot of money from Ford, especially on the Southeast Asian...
The Gajimata project.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And Ted Morgan was interested in that, so he had help there. Reed Tripp was engaged in it. And it went along, despite certain opposition. But you got a certain amount of conflict between, shall we say, the econometric theory group and the institutionalist labor economic development group
mm-hmm.
developing then. But Ed was extremely effective in keeping that from getting overwhelming, and hence everything went along, I would say, extremely well during that whole period. The build up different parts of the department.
Mm-hmm.
In an effective way. Now, Hawkins was the difficulty. ORCID was much opposed to it. He thought he was not the type of person we should have. But ORCID wanted somebody who would work on an econometric model or be a statistician related to it or something like that.
My feeling about ORCID...
ORCID, by the way, Orchid had the feeling that neither Ed Young nor I, see, I became chairman, I've forgotten, in here. I was chairman for 3 years, until 65, I guess. And it was a period of development. Ed Young went abroad for a year and then came back as dean of LNS, my first year, I think, as chairman. Orchid had a feeling that Ed and I were not sufficiently sympathetic to him and his work, and that we were opposing him. Matter of fact, I think for both of us, we were doing what we could to further it without getting into roadblocks that would be really stop us. But he didn't appreciate that. Orchid didn't. There's a fellow named Holt, who you don't have here, was here for a short time. Orchid brought him. Orchid brought a man named Jack Johnston, whom we tried to recruit permanently, but went back to Manchester. He brought two or three other young people who were very good people. He had a lot of adherents, supporters, and the younger people in Harvard. But Zellner and Goldberger, who were econometricians, also came under Orchid's urging.
Mm-hmm.
Then Ed and I also always had feelings towards economic history. We wanted to encourage it. And there was some cleavage between economic historians and economic theorists and so forth, some of that. About Williamson, there were a couple of others who perhaps never had tenure, I don't know, Kane. Kane was in labor economics. Good man.
Would you say that Orchid didn't live up to Wisconsin, or Wisconsin, or let's say Orchid wasn't up to Wisconsin, or Wisconsin wasn't up to Orchid? It does seem to me that he did. It didn't work. His experiment or
his model, which was a so-called microeconomic model of the macroeconomy.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't work. It was terribly intricate, very difficult, required a lot of empirical foundations that are very difficult to handle, get a hold of, and so forth. So his, in the long run, his model has not been, has not worked out, and not come to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, from the standpoint of Wisconsin, I would say Orchid was a tremendous boon, because during that period when he was doing this, we could bring in people and do some new things and enliven everything. So I would say that as I told Guy several times, you know, there's symbiosis here. This is something we're dependent on each other.
Mm.
And I think that worked out very well. But he gradually became discouraged. I don't know to what extent he may then have lost financial support.
He did.
Yeah. That probably was a good element in it.
Mm.
And then moved on. But I would say that in terms of measuring up, we both, well, Orchid measured up to my expectations. I'd say that Orchid lived up to our expectations, Ed Young, myself, Pete Steiner, in terms of what he did for the department. No question about it, perhaps Oprah, you know. So he didn't, but on the other hand, and on the other hand, Wisconsin gave him very good support. So it was mutually satisfactory up to certain limits which were reached when he didn't get further support from
the Ford Nash, Foundation.
Ford Foundation. His work didn't, some of the people we brought in went on into other directions. I don't think it could be put in terms of living up to Wisconsin's standards or expectations or vice versa.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. But
because the Poverty Institute was getting underway as of 1965, and they apparently side-slipped each other.
Yeah, to some extent, I guess, although I don't think the Poverty Institute necessarily took the steam out of what was being done by ORCID.
Well, I think it was a question of whether the Poverty Institute would work with the social systems research and make use of their data and their equipment.
Well, I don't know that there was any problem there. As an expansionist, I was, I guess I was chairman when we were out getting the money. My money was most important in that. But I thought both things were good, each in their own way. They would complement each other, but especially perhaps Poverty Institute bringing in a hell of a lot of money that you could use in various kinds of research. I was also one who was very interested in the cross relationships between the social sciences.
Mm-hmm.
And the Poverty Institute, of course, had that attribute.
As did ORCID, too. Oh,
yes,
that was a criticism that he didn't really.
that's
I guess that was one of the things.
That's right.
He was meant to be interdisciplinary,
but
and
he
didn't
was
follow
not.
Through.
He was a quantitative economist and econometrician,
mm-hmm.
and he was not really interested professionally in the other social sciences, I would say. You know, he was not against them, but he was not really working for them.
Yeah.
Whereas Bob Lampman was, Ed Young was, I was. We got help of Bill Sewell and others in sociology.
Were you in on that effort to? Well, it was the initial effort which finally led to the money for ORCID when a group was trying to get a grant from the Ford Foundation and went and Fred E.B. Fred had to interview the Ford Foundation man. Do you remember that meeting?
I wasn't in on the meeting.
Oh,
Bill Sewell was then associate dean of the Graduate School for Social Sciences,
mm-hmm.
and he was pushing for things that would get funds for the social sciences generally, and he was attempting to get a large Ford Foundation grant, and he had them in, and they interviewed people, including Fred, and I remember getting reports from Bill Sewell that the interviews with Fred were very disappointing,
To say the least.
Yes, I can.
The Ford Foundation man wanted to see Fred alone, and in fact there were 14 people, I think, something like that.
So that sounds right. It wasn't until Fred Harrington became president that we really had support for the social sciences. That made it.
Were you aware of his being there and working? He was working under Fred, representing the social sciences as a vice president.
That's right.
Or it was assistant, I guess.
That's right. No, he was effective at that time in helping the social sciences. But then when Alvium was chosen, Fred was still very important in the social sciences, but we didn't really have the full-fledged support for the social sciences that we got after Fred became chairman. Mm-hmm. You know, the Alumni Research Foundation funds finally were it was decided could be used for social sciences.
Yes.
I think that didn't come until Fred was president.
No, that's right, it didn't.
Yeah. Neither E.B. Fred nor Albion thought that was a good idea.
Yes. Painful subject. Do you, are there other things you want to say about the economics department that I haven't thought of asking you? Or shall we turn to the ILS, the founding of ILS?
Let's do that, Tyler. I've covered most of the things that I consider important. It got into be a very good department. It is not quite as good as it used to be, I think, but still a strong
You mean department. Now it's yes. not as good as it was in the 50s and 60s?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Not quite. But it's still a very good department. Mm-hmm. And it was a not good department in the latter 40s and the very early 50s.
Did you leave for, why did you leave?
combination of reasons. I was given substantially more money. I was getting older and
What was your feeling about Ed Young's being made chancellor? That happened while just the year you must have left.
He went to Maine,
mm-hmm.
as I remember.
Yes, he did.
And then he came back.
Harrington brought him back
as
here.
As chancellor.
Well, he came back a few months earlier.
As chancellor or not?
No, not as chancellor, just I believe he was
perhaps an assistant, a vice president, something like that?
Well, I'm not sure quite what the sequence was, but...
At any rate, he left, I think he left before I did, for Maine, and his leaving was perhaps one of the reasons I didn't feel so much for sticking around.
Mm-hmm.
But I was awfully pleased when he came back. And he came back, actually, while I was still here.
Yes, well, he became chancellor in 60, in 60...
66, perhaps?
No, 69, because...
Oh, really? Well, at any rate, they brought him back, yeah. And I thought that was a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
And...
not everybody did.
Oh, I'm sure. You know, he was often accused of just being a politician. But he was an awfully good one. He's the best education administrator I've ever run across, certainly.
One of the criticisms of him has been by people that he doesn't make decisions.
Well, I don't know. I never noticed that. He was always asked people, and he wouldn't make premature decisions, but often he had his mind made up, but he didn't know it. a very effective person. He was, however, kind of an easygoing administrator. He was not martinet. And he probably was permissive in that sense. I think I did have more support from Ed than perhaps I deserved. But I always had a feeling that he was inclined to go along with people who had ideas and efforts to do something and help them do it.
Let's talk about the Integrated Liberal Studies program, how you got involved in that.
Yes, well, Ingram was dean, and I've forgotten who really first started the idea we should have something of that sort. But Ingram set up the committee to consider whether there should be an alternative, BA, possibly BS, a degree in the college. Mm-hmm. And on that committee, I think Bob Pooley was the chairman of that committee. I was on it, Harrington was on it, Ingram ex officio, a fellow from chemistry, Atkins, I think. Maybe McKendrick was on it, I believe so, Paul McKendrick. At any rate, we all met, and we met again and again. We had good esprit de corps, and we came out with a program, which Ingram could and did support strongly. There was opposition, as you might expect, particularly from, I suppose, the sciences, because this was, without doubt, primarily a humanities social science program, although we did have courses in what amounted to the history of science. Mm-hmm. Atkins from chemistry, and I guess Aaron Ide was on the committee too, perhaps. He was also from chemistry. He later became the chairman of the program. And we had a good committee, I think, and we came out with a good program. And got it adopted, and it was going. At the time, it was quite an innovative program and very effective, I'd say.
And you said you might have been made.
Well, I remember Ingram calling me in and saying, you know, we'd choose a chairman for the new program, mm-hmm. and I'm just scouting around. Whom do you think, among other things, are you interested yourself? I said I was not. Bob Pooley was quite interested in, mm-hmm. in that job, I think, became the chairman. But I suppose just because of our status or whatever at the time, maybe he or I was to be chosen, and Bob was an effective chairman. Mm-hmm. It went along for several years. I have often wondered what's become of it now.
Yeah.
One of the things that interested me was an interdisciplinary college, and University of California, Riverside was presumably growing rapidly, and the chancellor and the idea of making it into four different colleges, including social and behavioral sciences. Mm-hmm. So I was there for 3 years as chairman of the economics department. We got the PhD program going, expanded the faculty, and doing quite well. And then they made me dean of that college when it was founded, and I served in it for 3 years. And that's about as much as I wanted, mm-hmm. and so I went back to economics. I was always sort of between administration and particularly professional academic work, and perhaps an uneasy disequilibrium between those. So since I went back into the department at California in 1974, I haven't done any administrative work since.
What's your interest in the humanities? Where does that come from?
Well, I don't know, except that I've always personally been interested in literature, drama, a growing interest in the visual arts, even now getting into poetry and liking that. I never knew much poetry until recent years. But I suppose I'm that kind of person. I'm not a terribly technical kind of person, generally. And so the humanities, I'm interested in history. Uh-huh. I've taught, you see, the history of economic thought.
Well, that's right, yes.
I taught it here for years. Taught some of it. It was at California. It gives me an historical bent towards economic problems. So that's
It is not my notion of every economist that to pay much attention to the humanities.
Some of us are more technically specialized than others. Mm. I'm rather less specialized.
I guess increasingly so.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that's about all then. Thanks very much.
You're very welcome.